I have proven I can count to 12. I really didn't cheat. Really didn't. What this is about here is, you know, you've probably noticed if you've been to church here much recently, if you're fairly new, that we don't make the hoopla that you would get at some places over holiday type stuff, and really none of it, Christmas, even Easter and Valentine's and all. There's actually a reason behind that. I've mentioned some of it in passing. Didn't want anybody to be confused that we don't have a big living Christmas tree and a pageant and a Santa Claus out in the foyer and all the things that some churches do. There's room for grace in all this, but I mainly wanted to present just some things here that first of all, some Bible stuff. And, you know, actually, I'm not as fervently against it as some might be. You can make a fool out of yourself and do damage if you take this and run with it to the extent that, you know, you get a can of WD-40 and a lighter and blow up the family Christmas tree and, you know, send grandma's presents back to her and stuff like that. My advice is you to have some grace to adopt some things for yourself to just weigh this out. And mainly, you do need to know, you know, what the Bible says and, in fact, what history says about some things. So, like I said, if I could take you for a few minutes just through some scripture, you're going to need to put on your thinking caps and board my train of thought, or you're going to get lost pretty quick. But if you'll turn to Luke chapter 1, if you're not already there, Luke chapter 1. I'd like you to take note of John the Baptist's mother and father, okay? And so we're going to trace this out. Have to make a couple of conclusions without definitive results, but it still comes out pretty clear. In Luke chapter 1, as you know, it starts out here, and it's going to give you, first of all, the birth of Christ in Luke 2. But for now, it's going to go through here and tell you a little bit about John the Baptist's mother and father. John the Baptist preceded Jesus Christ by 6 months, right? And so down in verse 5, there were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, that's John Baptist's father, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer there, and then we'll start. Father, thank you. I just pray that you might make this clear to folks. And Lord, it's always good to see something from the Bible that actually the Bible does address some things that seems like everybody around is confused about. And Lord, we're just glad for a clear light, Father, a clear compass that directs us the right way. And so I pray you'd help us here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Okay, now notice, if you would, there in verse 5, Zacharias is a priest, and so he's at the temple, and he's ministering. Now, it says the course of Abiah, which really doesn't mean a lot unless you want to go and study it out, and there's a reason you'll see why this needs to be looked at. Take your Bible, if you will, go to 1 Chronicles for just a minute. 1 Chronicles 24. 1 Chronicles 24. Okay, 1 Chronicles 24. And if we could just do a quick scan here, you notice now these, verse 1, are the divisions of the sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. So these are Levites. This is the priesthood. Now, it's going to go down, and you'll see in verse 5, these were divided by lot. And what you're getting ready to see here is that the priests divided by lot so they could come in and minister at the sanctuary, the temple, for a certain period of time. And it's actually laid out here in verse 7 where it starts. The first lot came forth to Jehoiarib, and the second to Jediah. Now, so one course, two courses, and then it goes down this long list of people that you're normally not interested in. But I refer you to verse 10. The seventh to Hakoz, the eighth to Abijah. Now, you saw back in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, that Zacharias is after the course of Abijah. And so when you take Abijah from Hebrew and run it through Greek and then put it in English, Abijah and Abijah are the same. Okay? And it says there that Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, is of the course of Abijah. He's a priest. He comes to the temple at his ordained time slot and then ministers. And you can see, okay, verse 18 of 1 Chronicles 24. So how many courses of priests are there? 24, right? See that? Okay, so just think about that for a second. If, for instance, since there's 24 courses of priests and only 24, then say the priests came for 2 weeks apiece, and that would make 48 weeks, right? Can we do that math without me putting little multiplications up? So 48, right? Now, that's not quite a year. But I want you to recall something. Take your Bibles and, again, just hang in here with me for a second. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Just a little bit more Bible, then we can pull some things together, all right? Exodus chapter 34. And in Exodus chapter 34, go on down to verse 23. Exodus 34. Verse 23, where it's telling about verse 22, thou shalt observe the feast of weeks. So that's the feast of ingathering. It's telling you that for all of the feasts, the main feasts of the Lord, so Passover, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, that in verse 23, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. So, if all of the men children, including all of the Levites, all the priests, have to show up for those three feasts, okay, you have Levites coming in according to their course, according to their assigned slot, for, let's say, 2 weeks apiece. So if they eat, if 24 courses minister for 2 weeks apiece, that's 48 weeks. Okay, so we still have 4 weeks left in the year. But for the three feasts, all the men children have to come anyway, right? And so that pretty much covers the 52 weeks. Now, if we can take that as a basis, when you think about it, okay, so each course of priests minister for 2 weeks. So 24 courses for 2 weeks. So we need to track something else down here. Notice, if you will, look in Exodus 12. Let's just find a place to start for something. Then we can pull this together. Okay, Exodus chapter 12. Since John the Baptist's father is doing this, let's see if we can figure out, since we know the course that he labored in, when it was that he was at the temple doing his ministry. Well, first of all, let's do this. Exodus 12, and notice verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, he's getting ready to set up the Passover, right? Passover happens in the month Abib, A-B-I-B, okay? That's the first month of the Hebrew calendar year. Let me just show you another verse along that line to make sure you understand. Look in Exodus 34. Exodus 34. You didn't know you were going to have to work this hard tonight, did you? Exodus chapter 34. Go down to verse 18. Notice, the feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep 7 days, shalt, shalt thou eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee in the time of the month Abib, for in the month Abib thou camest out of Egypt. So Abib is the first month of the year. So we need to go here. Okay, these numbers represent our months, okay? So January, February, March, April, May, I have two different years here. Okay, the Israel doesn't count their year as we do. The month Abib, the first month of their year, actually kind of falls in between March and April. In other words, sometimes, because they're on a lunar calendar, sometimes Passover will land in March. Sometimes it will land in April. So rather than trying to split a month, let's just, working's sake, let's just say Passover lands, and it does oftentimes. In fact, it did this year and will next year in April. Okay? So that is the first year of the Jewish calendar. Now, if you will notice here, back to Luke, and I'm just about through chasing you through the Bible, so we can start building here in just 1 second. Luke chapter 1. There's something else you're being told that we didn't read yet. Zacharias, a priest, John the Baptist's father, works after the course of Abiah. Now, in Luke chapter 1, verse 24. So he's there for his course. And after those days, verse 24, his wife Elizabeth conceived, hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Okay, but here's the deal. So Zacharias is part of the eighth course. It's the course of Abiah. We have agreed that there are basically 2 weeks per course, right? The Jewish year starts, again, it kind of works between the 2 months, but for simplicity's sake, we're going to count April as the first month. So you then have 2 courses that work in April, 2 courses that work in May, 2 courses that work in June. How many courses do we have so far? 6. And then by the time you get to July, you would have the 8th course. So 2, 4, 6, 8. So Zechariah, by these conclusions, would be ministering in the temple during September. And right after he ministers, July. Right after he ministers, you'll notice right after that Elizabeth conceived, right? Hid herself 5 months. And thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Okay, so John the Baptist was conceived in July, right after he's done ministering, right? Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months, right? John the Baptist is born. Conceived in July, born roughly in April. Okay, now, verse 20. Again, now keep up with the month here. Verse 24, she hid herself 5 months, Elizabeth did. So the 5 months represent her pregnancy. And then she said what she said in verse 23. Then, verse 26, and in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. This is the Virgin Mary, right? Now, you notice that the angel is sent in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jesus Christ was conceived 6 months after John. So he was conceived in January. Right? Conceived in January. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Born in October, not December, right? Which makes sense. That is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the Day of Atonement. It is Sukkot. It's still called Sukkot, but it's the high holy day of in the Jewish nation. And so that Jesus Christ would come. Jesus Christ died on Passover, but he had come in October of rough September, October of the year that he was born. That's when he came. Now, let me piece a couple things else together there along those lines. By the way, did you notice something? It's kind of weird because what is the ninth month in our calendar? September, right? September. What does Sept stand for? Seven. What is the tenth month? October. What is that? November. Nine. In other words, I'm just saying, and December, by the way, des is 10. This is preserved. For those 4 months, the Jewish calendar by name is even preserved in our calendar, which is kind of weird, because September is not the seventh month for us, it's the ninth. But Jesus Christ was likely born in September, October at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, to me, just run a couple of things else down, then we can do something else, okay? Look in John chapter 18. Be clear. So you have Bible for it. John 18, 39. They're getting ready to crucify Jesus Christ. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one of the prisoner, one at the Passover. This is Pilate. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So that is at Passover. Okay. So Jesus Christ died at Passover. Look back to Luke one more time with me. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. When did Jesus start ministering? Verse 22. When the days of her purification... No, that's not what I wanted. I'm in the wrong chapter. 3:23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. So at the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry, he's about 30 years of age. Well, if he's about 30 years of age, he's within a week or two of his birth date, right? October. So, folks, 3 years, the 10th month to the 10th month to the 10th month to the 10th month. That's 3 years. Christ's ministry, you can track it through the Gospels, was 3.5 years. So from the 10th month then to the 4th month is 3.5 years. So Jesus Christ came, was born, and when he started his ministry, he was about 30. It would be September, October at the Feast of Tabernacles. He's about 30 years old. He ministers then for 3.5 years in public and dies at the Passover 3.5 years later. So this is real strong, folks. This is, you know, Christ was not born in December. Now, let me just back off and say, it's God is not offended for you to get together with your family at any time. Right? He's not offended if you give a present to somebody at any time. But since it's shoved down our throats that this must be the holy day and that Jesus Christ was born at Christmas, is just not true. Thought I'd give you a few historic facts as well. Did you know that in Egypt, the goddess Isis, who was the queen of heaven, had a husband, another god, named Osiris, and they had a baby. His name was Horus, H-O-R-U-S, and he was born on December 25th. In Rome, the sun god Sol, S-O-L, during the nativity of the sun, the S-U-N, was born on December 25th. The Persian god of the sun was known as Mithra. Mithra, they used to call that the invincible sun, because during in December, the 20th or so, 22nd, 23rd, that's when the winter solstice is, and all these pagan religions were worshiping the sun and setting things by the sun. And so from December, what is it, the 22nd? That's the actual solstice, I can't remember. But from that point on, the days lengthen into spring, right? And so these folks are worshiping the sun. Again, Mithra was the Persian god of the sun. He was known as the invincible sun. He was born on December 25th. Imagine that. Mithra also, by the way, was an infant god that was actually born of a rock. Now, and on December 25th. Now, what you see in all this, it's kind of weird, because, and I'm not sure how the Lord has it arranged, is we know that Jesus Christ, that God is the rock, right? And then Jesus Christ was the rock. And so there's, even in pagan heathenology, there is the types of Jesus Christ even in there. For instance, we come to church on the weekend on a quote-unquote Sunday. Now, the reason we come on Sunday is not because of Baal, because it's the Sunday, S-U-N day. We come because Jesus Christ rose on Sunday. So the Lord arranged for His Son to rise on a day dedicated by heathen to the sun. Now, I don't know if that's in defiance or if the devil arranged that just to try to mess people up or exactly what. But again, Mithra was born as infant god of the sun, was born on the December 25th. In Rome, Saturn was the god of agriculture. And something called Saturnalia was celebrated from December 17th to December 24th. The day after Saturnalia was called Brumalia. And on that day, all society turned itself upside down, and they elected somebody who was called the Lord of Misrule, and all the government shut down, and the Lord of Misrule just led everybody in a widespread party and merrymaking, drunkenness and just total gluttony. And then one historian says that then after this guy who was a peasant would be elected to live for 2 weeks like that, that basically they would then kill him and go back to normal. But for 2 weeks, everybody got to live like they wanted to live and just, you know, gluttony and drunkenness and so on and so forth. So that's kind of interesting. Now, the Norsemen, the Vikings, they worshipped something called Yule, Y-U-L-E, right? And believe it or not, Yule was 12 days of feasting and drinking. The 12 days of Christmas, my true love to me. Where'd that come from? That's not in the Bible. And there was a Yule tree and a Yule log and, by the way, a Yule ham. So you wonder where some traditions come from. And eat the pig. Eat the pig on Christmas, for all I care. I will. I'll eat it. But it doesn't mean to me what it meant to them. The Greeks had a god of wine called Dionysius. His birthday was December 25th. In Finland, the sun goddess, her name was spelled B-E-I-W-E, so Biwi, something like that. But believe it or not, she rode around the sky on a sleigh that was made from reindeer bones and some flying reindeer that were white pulled her around the sky in her reindeer bone sled. And during this Norse or Finlander celebration of the sun god, they had gift exchanging, decorating, caroling, holly, and mistletoe. I'm just saying. In Germany, Odin, O-D-I-N, was the god of the Norse gods, and they worshiped trees. Cut down trees and brought them into their houses. And because they were god worshipers, sun worshipers, they would put the tree in their house, and then they would put little balls on it, and those little balls represented the sun. And they would decorate the little balls. And if they had other decorations to put up, those other decorations, you know, whatever they put up, represented other gods. I'm just saying. At least we know where it came from in history, because you can't find where it came from in the Bible. Right? Brother Jeff. Yes? I just can't believe that. The Emperor Aurelian ruled around 250 AD or so. He's the Roman Emperor. And he ruled that the December 25th was the birthday of the sun. Constantine the Great rose up in the 4th century to rule the Roman Empire. And he had a real inspiration, because at the Battle of Milvian Bridge in 312 AD, he's trying to put down a rebellion and consolidate the kingdom to himself, because it was divided to that point. And he looked up in the sky and had a vision of a cross. And a voice came to him and said, "In this sign, conquer." And so on the spot, Constantine became a Christian and went out the next day and defeated all the enemies and consolidated the Roman Empire unto himself. And this was such a moving thing for him, and I'm being very sarcastic here because this guy was a total dork. But this was such a real thing for him that he decided, and his brilliant idea was that since the Roman Empire was kind of starting to split up and show some fractures, that he could consolidate that kingdom now by just putting away a bunch of other stuff and saying that the official religion of Rome is now Christianity. And what he did was he just walked some of his armies through the river and said they were baptized and said they were Christians. But it was an excellent move, because Constantine, as the emperor, the Christian, quote-unquote Christian emperor of the Roman Empire, had an army. And if you didn't do what he said and become a Christian, then he would just kill you. So from that point on, the Roman Empire became a quote-unquote Christian empire. Okay? Constantine was never converted. He didn't believe on Jesus Christ. None of those things. It was totally a political move. My point is, he adopted, again, this would have been around
between 312 and 315 AD, he adopted December 25th as the birthday of Jesus Christ. Made it official. And so here you are, still influenced by a bunch of heathen. Everybody from Egypt to Rome to Iran, Persia, to the Norsemen, the Vikings, the Greeks and the Finlanders and the Germans, to basically fall into line with a sun-worshipping religion that anoints the winter solstice as the day that you should worship the sun. And as it turns out, the day that Jesus was born. Only Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Now, this is not to shake your entire world, and like I said, for you to go throw Grandma's presents back in her face or anything like that. You might do some damage there because Grandma may still need to get saved, right? So I would advise you to take this and use a little grace and a little wisdom with it. Let me show you something real quick. Romans 14. This is all for us here just about the truth, okay? I just want you to know the truth. And this year we probably won't because Christmas lands on on church days. But we get together with our family on Christmas, and we never do any Santa Claus stuff because I'm not going to lie to the kids. Right? And we never had any money to buy presents. And so we just kind of didn't. So our kids all kind of grew up with Christmas, eh, like that. That's where I'm at. Christmas, eh. That's where I still am. Christmas, eh. Okay? So, you know, living Christmas trees and putting up decorations and all that stuff, you can do it if you want. But it's not Christian as such. And the balance on this, so you, like I said, you don't do something stupid and send somebody to hell because you're just being a jerk. Look if you will in Romans chapter 14 real quick. Romans 14. You give somebody the truth and then some will go run with it and try to and hurt somebody with it. Okay? Okay, don't do that. Romans chapter 14. Go on down to verse 5. This is a passage about meat and drink and idols. And he says in verse 4, let's start there, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yet he shall be a holding up, for his God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another." So, a little grace. Christmas means a lot to somebody. If you, for instance, if the birth of Jesus Christ means a lot to you. You know, if you want to celebrate it that day, you can. Because I'm not going to stop you. Okay? I just want you to acknowledge the truth that he was born not on December 25th, that he was born in October. And if your family gets together, and it's a tradition to have a big family get together, are there lost people in your family? Use the opportunity to try to witness to them. And just don't get sucked into a bunch of the other stuff, right? Like I said, for lots of families, the Christmas time becomes a big drunken partying type deal, right? A lot of us grew up with that. Okay, then don't do that. And if they're trying to shove it down your throat, well, don't accept that. But it does say in verse 4, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Okay? So we adopted the position that we weren't going to lie to our kids, that our church stands for the truth 365 days a year and 52 Sundays a year and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't know what part bringing a Santa Claus, a mall Santa in here to let the kids sit on his lap, what that has to do with the truth. You know what I'm saying? And making a big hullabaloo out of December 25th, I just don't have the heart for it. I just don't, okay? I don't think it's wrong for you to go to your mothers and fathers with the rest of your brothers and sisters and all the little nephews and nieces and open presents. Like I said, don't take a, you know, don't take a torch in and torch the family Christmas tree. Okay? Use a little wisdom. Have a little grace. But just know the truth. Can we do that? Look at another thing, if you would. Look in Colossians chapter 2. One of the great things that the Lord relieved us of is the ordinances that we just have to march to, or else it's shot. And there are a lot of families in this world that, I mean, they march to Christmas and Easter. I mean, and you, if you're not aboard fully, you might as well just be a bastard child. Right? There's no need for that. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, and of course the Lord did this for us when he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and you received Him as your Savior, blotting out the handwriting, verse 14, of ordinances. Those ordinances include dietary restrictions, right? The necessity of circumcision, the necessity of Sabbath keeping, those sort of things. We don't have to worry about that. I'm glad. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now watch. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. Now, in the Catholic Church, the holy day of all holy days is Easter. And second to that is Christmas. If you're a Catholic, you better be in church on Christmas and Easter, or you're probably going to go to hell. Okay? That's nonsense. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You are not any longer restricted by holy days or the new moon or the Sabbath day. None of us bother with Sabbath worship, because Sabbath is on Saturday. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the biblical model was that then Christians worship on the first day of the week, which happens to be Sunday, right? So we are not restricted by those things, and you all know full well you can stay home from church on Sunday if you want to and not lose your salvation. I don't encourage it, but you can. Notice, though, verse 16, to let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days. I'm not supposed to let anybody judge me. If I don't worship Christmas the way some people worship Christmas Day, it's none of their business, right? And so that's why I say there's place for grace here, because some Christians, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because of family. It's a big deal because of kids. Maybe it's a big deal because of habit. Okay, well, that's their business. They're saved. That's their business, not yours. Let them go at it. You don't have to. And they shouldn't judge you because you maybe don't do as much as they do. Right? Look at one more passage, if you wouldn't mind. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. Now, the birth of Christ on Christmas Day isn't a Jewish fable. It's a heathen fable. Right? Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men which turn from the truth. You see what turns from the truth? Commandments of men. You're warned about traditions of men. You're warned about commandments of men. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Okay, do I have a problem going to somebody's house that has a Christmas tree? And am I going to offend somebody, a family member that's lost, if they give me a present, throw it back in their face, I'm offended? No. I'll accept the dorky sweater that you give me and put it in the closet and not wear it. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying. I had to throw somebody's present back, right? They thought enough of you to give it to you. Like I said, use a little wisdom. Don't take this and go beat somebody to death with it. But you ought to be relieved that you know when your Savior was born. And incidentally, nowhere in the Bible did anybody celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. If anything, they celebrated the resurrection of Christ. But as far as worshiping or celebrating the birthday of Christ, you don't find anything like that in the Bible. So again, just don't have to be restrained by it, restricted by it. My mom and dad went into, we were poor farmers, cash poor farmers. Mom and dad went into debt every year to give us the best Christmas they could. And like I said, I believed in Santa Claus way too late in my life. And resented finding out that mom and dad had lied to me. Okay? And so we never lied to our kids, and we didn't make a big deal materially about the Christmas thing. Did we ever buy them something? Well, sure. But the way folks do it, you have to admit it's pretty crazy. People spend a ton of money. Do you have a ton of money? If you want to spend it, help yourself. If you want to go in debt to do it, help yourself. But I don't have to, right? So I'm just saying, Christ wasn't born on December 25th. Any questions or comments? I didn't mean to kill the spirit. I'm just saying. All right. Yes, Daniel.
With the 48 weeks and then that 4 week difference.
Yep.
There were the 3 weeks that made up for the feast.
Yep.
With Passover and then unleavened bread taking place right after that being the week, is that the 4 week?
I'm not sure. I wasn't able to divide it exactly. I'm not sure. Anybody? All right. Like I said, didn't mean to spoil anything tonight, but I thought that it might be liberating for some. Brother Steve?
About the first day of the week, resurrection. So we know that he rose again on the first day. Well, they went to the tomb on the first
yes.
day, and it was still dark, and he saw God.
Yep.
So you're saying he rose on the first day, but just before the sun came up.
Yeah, yeah. And in particular, from that point on, the Pauline example was that they got together, they took offerings, and they met on the first day of the week for worship. You can find several places where they did that. And so they no longer honored the Sabbath day, the Saturday keeping. So that's why we worship on quote-unquote Sunday, first day of the week. All right, shall we stand and sing one here?